Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Hello, and welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, your host, and today I'll be speaking with Sister John Paul, a Dominican sister of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Sister John Paul and I have teamed up to do a series on virtuous living because we both understand that the pursuit of virtue truly changes lives for the better and brings with it the happiness that all of us are at some level looking for in life. If you're interested in listening to our past shows on virtue, you can find them on the archives of stgabrielradio.com. So, sister, as a Dominican sister and a principal of a Catholic elementary school, and I, as a Catholic therapist, both see the impact of the sin and the just the culture, how it takes us down, and we see how switching things up by living virtuously really, really does restore the happiness that we've lost and can instill the happiness that we never really had. It doesn't just happen overnight. Usually it takes a little bit of effort on our parts and an education in it so that we understand what we're looking for and how we go about getting it. So the topic today is, it's acedia, and I'll explain a little bit more about that, and we'll get into it more deeply in the show. Acedia is not a virtue. That's what I'm here to tell you. First off, it is not a virtue. It's the lack of virtue. And so we're going to figure out how to work around it and gain that virtue and understand what acedia is and how to get past it. So let me read to you what the Catechism of the Catholic Church has to say on this. And this is from 2094 in the Catechism. One can sin against God's love in various ways. And the Catechism then has a list of ways that one can sin against God's love. And one of them is acedia, or spiritual sloth. And that goes so far as to refuse the joy that comes from God and to be repelled by divine goodness. Now, we might think, goodness, what is wrong with us? How can we refuse joy, or how can we be repelled by divine goodness? But it's all around us all the day. It's acedia is a sneaky thing in our lives. And I think a good analogy is if you have ever heard about the frog in the boiling water. And the water gets turned up. It starts out warm, and the frog doesn't know that it's in warm water. You know, it just seems normal. It's body temperature. But then gradually, the fire gets turned up, and the frog doesn't even know it, that the water is getting warmer and warmer, and suddenly it's boiling, and now it's like, I got to get out. So anyway, I'm happy to bring on Sister John Paul with me today. Thanks, Sister, for being here.
Oh, great to be here.
So, okay. I've given my big intro here. Let me pass it over to you. You take off. Like, how do you define acedia?
Well, I would never argue with the catechism.
No, I guess not. I wouldn't either. But there's more to it, I think. Probably a whole lot more.
There's a lot. You know, and sometimes people characterize acedia or confuse it with depression.
Mm-hmm.
And there really are actually particular differences in that. And I would certainly leave it to you to define depression for your listeners based on your field.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we look at acedia, we can see it as a kind of a spiritual sloth.
Yes.
And maybe a sense of a spiritual depression that is tied a lot to despair.
So, you know, sister, that's what you just said is really very interesting, because Thomas Aquinas described acedia as an oppressive sadness that depresses man's mind, that he can do nothing freely. I love that. It's oppressive,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Meaning it's not from God, really, right?
That's
it's
right.
Oppressive.
That's
it
right.
Holds us down. It depresses our minds. He also called it a weariness of working, a weariness in our working ability, really, I think he meant, Or he said, it's a torpor of the mind that neglects to begin good things. Key word, I think, is really neglects. It mm-hmm. holds us back from,
yes,
so that we neglect to do the good things we either want to do or should do.
That's right. And I think, you know, the image that has often been depicted is this image of someone who's, you know, in a lazy chair,
yeah,
you know, who just doesn't want to get up and wants the food brought to them or the remote or this or that. And
I can relate to that, sister.
I think we can all relate to moments of the temptation of that, for
right.
sure. And you know, when we look at our culture today, I think we can find many influences in our culture that perhaps feeds this kind of acedia and mm-hmm. kind of a spiritual yeah. sloth. And we can get burnt out from all of the images and the media and just it, you get exhausted by overstimulation. And so certainly many people have called this, you know, one of our sisters, you know, the unnamed vice of today actually mm-hmm. is this acedia. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you mentioned was this sense of you know, neglect to begin to do good.
Right.
And this flows over into our spiritual life, where eventually, you know, not only do we just neglect to go do those positive things, oh, I don't have time to do these extra things, and you wish them well, but we don't act on it. But even in the spiritual life, we start to even have a loss of belief, or we have a loss that we could do anything good, or a loss of a sense that we could actually be in relationship with God.
Mm.
And
so that's the real despair, then,
despair,
right?
If you're kind of losing hope.
Lose the sense that you can be in a relationship with God.
Or do anything worthwhile. So a lot of times right. this is behind all of this, where like, why even get started? You know, the problem is too big. You know, I was talking with a young person, you know, why should I begin to try to help the poor? There will always be poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this sort of stuff that keeps us down. Whereas we need, you know, God invites us to do what we can for one person at a time, one day at a time, and put the rest in his hands.
Right.
So it's actually a vice that attacks all of the virtues. Or we could look at it in a more positive way and say working on any of the virtues will help us counter this vice.
No, that's interesting. That's interesting because it does affect so many. Well, as you say, all the virtues, the cardinal virtues and the theological virtues are all impacted by
acedia. Absolutely, absolutely.
And if we don't attempt in some way, it's hard to get started. I think that's
yep.
one of the biggest things. So, you know, you don't eat the whole elephant at once, right? You do
right.
it bite by bite.
Bite by bite.
And so I think that's like you say, to just do the small things
that's
that you
right.
can. And then the momentum starts, and it's just hard to get started.
I would say, you know, we can look many times at our young people who have not been exposed to enough hope being placed in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John Paul II, they call him a witness to hope. You know, one of the reasons why he stirred millions of young people into conversions, acts, you know, of charity for others, into vocations, you know, was he looked at them with hope and mm-hmm. he gave them hope.
Mm-hmm.
And we fail to offer that hope and a reason for hope to our young people.
So true.
And it's really an obligation on so many of us to say, well, wait a minute, you are capable of great things. Begin now. And if anybody is listening who works with young people, please give them this opportunity. Speak to them about the Lord and encourage them, you know, in the virtue of hope. That's what we need to mm-hmm. mobilize it. That's why we're seeing the renewal in the church that we are now. It is because really young people now with the World Youth Days and everything have been encouraged in the virtue of hope. I would say when we look at our young people, we can see the effects of acedia in some cases. And this can look like maybe a dullness of the senses. We see this where they just can't put down the technology.
Yeah, or adults too. I mean,
or overindulgences, talkativeness, sure. curiosity, all these things that just sort of keep you stimulated rather than being settled. Also, in a blindness of mind is another effect where they say, well, I'm just not sure what to do, and maybe they can't make a decision. And I mean, of course, there's reasons for that, but just this, their mind becomes clouded and dulled and has not been instructed. You know, we talk about forming our conscience,
mm-hmm.
you know, seeking out, you know, the right path to go. So there's a lot of effects of essentially this spiritual sloth where you're just not beginning to try to act to know God and work on a spiritual life, that where you're not making a choice to say, well, I'm going to move today from the person I am to the person I ought to be.
Right.
And it's that you just kind of staying, you know, staying like a stick in the mud, you know, rather than saying, wait a minute, I need to be in movement. I'm on journey here. I'm on pilgrimage. I need to be acting towards the good and taking steps, even if not, you don't want to be selfish about it, but there are ways of living that lead you to happiness.
Sure.
And that's the virtues. But ultimately, that you're a person that's engaged in a loving relationship with God and with others. You know, that's taking those steps rather than just not caring, which is what we're seeing.
You're listening to The Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Marianne Jepson, your host. I'm a Catholic therapist, and I am joined on this journey of virtue. Mm-hmm. Sister John Paul and I are doing a series on virtuous living. Sister John Paul is a Dominican sister of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, and it's so great to have her with me to
Thank
be
you.
Able to really take this journey together and to share this with all of our listeners. So, sister, as you were talking, I was thinking that, you know, how just a gradual acceptance of sin in our lives, whether it be venial or mortal, along the way, and not confessing our sins, darkens our minds and our
Absolutely.
Hearts and our souls and our intellect, and it kind of leads us in the direction of aseidia. It makes it grow within
yes.
us, it seems to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I would say, you know, the lack of a frequent confession will pretty much eventually lead someone down this path.
Yeah.
I can't imagine someone not ending up in despair without the sacrament of reconciliation regularly part of their life.
Yeah. So if you think about that, and you think about how that's leading us down, that's really putting the frog in the water and slowly turning up the heat, right? That's what this is doing. And it is, again, it's taking us away from the joy that comes from God, and it repels us to his divine goodness. And again, I go back to the very beginning. How can we do that? Why would anybody want to do that when the solution is so simple as go to confession?
Well,
get rid of it.
It is hard work. No,
I know.
But confession gives you a clean slate.
You can start over.
That's right. And you know, I hope that we have lots of parents listening, you know, to the Family Sanctuary. And you know, if you're a parent, bring your children to confession. You
exactly.
know, let them see the example that is an important part of the family culture, that we go whatever the interval is, once a month, or, I mean, some folks are doing great just to get there at Christmas time and Easter time, but let the children see that confession is important to you, and then that will be part of the remedies that they learn to apply. I think, you know, you mentioned why wouldn't anybody want to turn towards joy, and it's true, you know, when you're trying to practice the virtues, first of all, you have to know what they are. You know, our catechism says this. You have to be educated in them.
Right.
That's why, you know, part of the work that we're trying to do as Dominicans in our schools, children need to know what it looks like and sounds like to follow virtue these days. It's not modeled in our culture.
No.
Family life is very difficult. You know, I mean, it's very hard for kids, you know, all the time to look around and see, oh, well, that's what it means to follow Christ. You know, we have to explain what virtue looks like and that it is given by God, but then they can also make choices to follow him in these ways. We have to encourage them and nurture them to practice it and then speak positively to them when we see them doing it. Encourage that, you know, affirm that. And then it's a waiting game, you know, with the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
Over time, practicing, persevering in the virtues will purify us.
You know, sister, when you said that virtue is not modeled in our society, I was thinking that not only is it not modeled, but it's blasphemed in our society.
True.
It's made to sound, it's ridiculed.
It is.
It's
in some cases, it's being outlawed now.
And it's being outlawed.
I mean, quite
Absolutely.
Honestly, you know, there's an outright assault on modesty, the virtues of chastity. I mean, so many things, right?
Right. And so our children are being, they're being forced to have this stuff, this terrible stuff.
Right.
And without going into it more deeply, they're being forced into this stuff so that how can aseidia not grow when that is being normalized? All of the bad stuff is being normalized.
Right.
It's not bringing them the joy, and it won't bring them the joy and freedom that the Holy Spirit offers. So how we need to pray to the Holy Spirit, though. This stuff doesn't need, just, right?
We absolutely need, can rely on the Holy Spirit. And so we ourselves shouldn't fall into despair or discouragement at our culture, because we know wherever there's evil, right, grace abounds more. Wherever there's sin, grace abounds more. God has already won this victory for us. And so we can be cheered by that. Even though it may bring, those who sow in tears will weep rejoicing. You know, it might be a time for tears, but in the end, the Lord's joy will fill us. And so, Holy Spirit, particularly, we can rely on many of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but for kind of combating the despair, a lot of people like to sometimes name gifts. And so we can look at Thomas Aquinas, we can look at our faith, and we can say, well, a fear of the Lord, the calling on the Holy Spirit, in particular, the gift of the fear of the Lord to come fill us, actually will help combat despair and raise hope within us. And that fear of the Lord means, you know, well, we love the Lord, and we would never anyway want to offend him. Mm-hmm. But it, above all, the fear is really that of a child knowing a loving father.
Mm-hmm. And they don't want to offend that loving father.
And they don't want to offend the loving father because they're in a relationship of love. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at our children, when we look at our families, we say, how are we cultivating this relationship of love, which experiences God as a father who embraces, like the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter, that through that love, we want to seek the good and live lives of virtue and respond to the Holy Spirit in our life.
So what really are the virtues then, sister, that combat acedia in our lives? What do we need to either pray to the Holy Spirit for? Are there specific things? I mean, I know you talked about the fear of the Lord.
That's right.
But are there other things that we really need to help combat this?
Well, definitely hope. The theological virtue of hope is the first one. But one could look at all of the virtues and in a way ask God for them and combat acedia that way. You know, temperance, you know, is a huge virtue that we're in need of these days. This idea of just moderation, not to mention, you know, combating overindulgence in a variety of created goods in that way. Fortitude, you know, standing strong, persevering in convictions, perhaps even speaking the truth or finding ways to put down the media. You know, set it down, time out, not
put
too
it
much.
Yeah.
And you could also look at faith. Do I believe, you know, in God and his power to overcome it? I would say on a practical level, you know, besides just asking God to give you the virtues and practicing the virtues, the taking action part of acedia, you know, combat it, spiritual sloth, will actually set aside time to actually get up and begin doing works of mercy for others.
Yeah.
Looking
at
others as persons that are gifts and in a sense, ready to be valued by the gifts that I can bring to them. In other words, recognizing them that they deserve works of mercy. They deserve the love and the service to others. Mm-hmm. So actually taking action, I would say.
Yeah, taking action. And, you know, when you earlier talked about sitting in the easy chair with your with your remote control and hoping people would bring food. Well, you know what? You can sit in your easy chair and you can dedicate an hour to prayer or spiritual reading or something. You can incorporate that. So you haven't, like, totally lost the... you don't necessarily have to sit on a, you
right,
know,
right.
On the hard floor.
That's right. Or bed of nails or something.
A bed of nails, yeah. Exactly right. You can just take time there and pray. Integrate a time of prayer it's just dedicated for prayer.
Absolutely.
In your life, you know.
You know, we used to hear a lot more about they talk about the three transcendentals of truth, beauty, and goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And previously, we've discussed Lectio Divina.
Right.
You know, and so if you were to sort of look at, you know, truth, beauty, and goodness, well, what does that do? Well, each one of those is an attribute of God. each one of those is something that can be perceived in the world around us that raises the human person to a higher dignity when they're encountering that. When you encounter truth, beauty, and goodness, there is some way in which the human person is elevated and is more of themselves,
yeah.
right, in all of their being. And when right. they're experiencing this, those types of moments lead to joy,
sure.
encountering truth, beauty, and goodness.
And who doesn't love truth, beauty, and goodness? I can see sometimes people in this world turn their backs on truth. They don't want truth because they think that's painful.
Or demanding.
Yeah, it's going to ask something of me. So if I can just pull the blinders down and I can avoid truth, I might like beauty and I might like goodness, depending upon what goodness is. It
right.
might be a half gallon of ice cream.
Right.
That's not exactly what we're talking about. You know, I mean, I like that ice cream. That's good. But we're talking this really the supernatural gifts here. Of truth, beauty, and goodness. And again, I mean, my goodness, I can't imagine who would turn that away if they knew that it was theirs forever and it could change their lives. It could bring them the happiness.
Well, we need to introduce them to these things.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, you know, people aren't necessarily turning a back on something that's known. It's a deeper encounter that they've not yet had.
Fear of the unknown, maybe.
Perhaps.
Well, that or... an encounter they haven't
had. Or how
yet
can
had.
They believe if they've never heard?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Which is, you know, a great gift of Catholic radio that
exactly
people can hear
right.
the word and, you know, in his timing. I would go back to a theme that we've talked about before, and that is, you know, a way to combat the vices would be to try to cultivate and build this culture of interiority,
mm-hmm.
of mm-hmm. finding that stillness within us. And if we look at truth, turning to Lectio Divina, encountering the scriptures, letting the Lord speak to you, his truth, will bring to light those areas that we need to change that are leading to acedia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we were to look at this idea of beauty, mm-hmm. you know, encountering God's creation, where's our sense of wonder? You know, can we even lift up our heads? You know, you look at parks, you see people walking down the road and they can't even lift up their heads and see, you know, the sky today, or gosh, did you know that the birds are out? And, you know, it's the change of seasons has happened. So wondering at the beauty of God's creation, wondering at the beauty of a child
mm-hmm.
that's before you, that sense of a beautiful masterpiece of art. We need to bring back masterpieces of art and have them speak to us in meditation
mm-hmm.
and beautiful, beautiful works. And then, you know, truth, beauty, goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and goodness really is the life of virtue. We recognize good. We recognize good in people who don't even have faith, that these are good people, people of goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
So surrounding ourselves with truth, beauty, and goodness will actually be a natural combat, if we're open to it, to this spiritual sloth and despair where we feel like we just, you know, are without care, indifferent. You know, this tripper, this sadness, you know,
mm-hmm.
There should be no sad saints, as once said,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, happiness and holiness go together.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that, you know, if we have all of these virtues or we're striving for them, we're striving to grow more and more and more each day in the image and likeness of God, which is what we're really here for.
Yes.
Is to grow in that image and likeness of God. It doesn't mean that the road before us is always going to be free of problems and things.
No.
They're going to come into our lives. We know that.
Right.
It's scriptural. You know, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have suffering,
right.
depending upon which version you're reading of the Bible. But this is what gets us through it. This is what makes it so it doesn't send us way off the tracks and in despair commit suicide or whatever it is. This brings us back and says, there is a reason for this suffering. There is something to be gained out of this. There is growth in the image and likeness of God that I can attain through this. I may not see the end of this journey before me, I know if I just keep on keeping on in the goodness, the truth, and the beauty, it's mine. You know, for the asking.
And we have to keep Jesus Christ, you know,
at
before us.
Yeah.
Because it is his passion, death, and resurrection. It is his suffering that attained for us the victory. You know, we can hope because of Christ. And that's what we have to remember, that it is Christ's passion, death. You know, he's ascended into heaven. His human nature is up, you know, in heaven where he's waiting for us to join him. That is why we can hope and believe and trust in the Holy Spirit's outpouring upon us, that by His grace we can live virtuously. It's God that does
so true.
This.
Well, you know, it's just, I love having these conversations with you, sister, and I hope that our listeners really are gaining in wisdom and knowledge and all of the great gifts that the Holy Spirit has for us through this. We're
come
continuing
Holy
that. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen to that. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. That's what this is about. So, again, it's wonderful having you. Thank you. And thank our listeners for joining. And again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you can find other of our shows on this series on virtue by going to stgabrielradio.com, clicking on the archives, the Family Sanctuary, and you'll see those shows there. And I want to also add in that there's another great resource at educationinvirtue.com, which is produced by the Dominican Sisters Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. So again, that's educationinvirtue.com. There are tons of resources on there. There's all kinds of good stuff. And you know what? It's well worth your time and your effort to seek this out and switch things up in your life. You know, it's just, it's so worth it, because we're under a lot of threat in the world today. We're under a lot of oppression, and therein with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and living lives of virtue, we can switch it up. So until next time, keep the faith and God bless.
God bless you all.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni Sancti.